There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to the second preseason episode of the Championship Roundtable. I am your host, Jake Jackman. You could get my Twitter at Jake Jackman with two N's, and you can reach us at the show by emailing us at championshiproundtable@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Paul Binning, the Exiled Robin, Bristol City blogger, named Exiled Robin because I exiled the other side of Severn Bridge in Cardiff.
Evening, guys. I'm Ben Womanger, blogger for Norwich City Blog. Blogger for a few sites, bit for 44 tweet, and currently doing some projects on my the Yellow Pages Twitter site.
Hello everyone, my name is Andrew Beck. I'm the editor of Cottagers Confidential for SBNation.com. I'm a Fulham fan, and you can find me on Twitter at ARBeck.
Thanks so much for joining us today, guys. We will start with making the rounds, where each of us will have a few minutes to discuss what's been going on at our clubs this week. So we'll start with you, Paul. What has been happening at Ashley Gate over the summer? What sort of transfers and pre-season, what sort of things have been going on?
Yeah, it's been a very busy summer for Bristol City. From a position last year where this time last year we'd made one summer signing, and that was the situation right in August, and it left our squad pretty short. The new boss, Lee Johnson's, had a very active summer, brought in new players, some for the under-21 squad, some notable first-team contenders, Tomlin, Gary O'Neill, Callum O'Dowda from Oxford, a million-pound youngster, an Icelandic centre-half from Juventus, and a goalkeeper from Bayern Munich. So certainly not the sort of transfers in we've been used to over the years, but clearly a big season for the club. You may have seen television and back with our stadium, so the last 2 years, we only have three sides to the stadium. It's about complete. Fingers crossed the whole thing's going to be open on the opening day on Saturday. And that suddenly gives us a 28,000 capacity. But we've got to fill. And yeah, having been in a position where we averaged 5,000 last year, it's a really big season for us to make sure we press on, we have a bit of success, and get the crowd flocking into Ashton Gate. But no, I think in the main, it's a very, very positive outlook at Ashton Gate. Everyone's happy with the signings. I think we still probably need a couple more. Just to complete the squad a little bit more. We're a little bit threadbare in certain positions once you get past the first sort of 11, 12 players. But in the main, really, a positive upward trend to life at Ashton Gate, and everyone's looking forward very much to a new season.
Yeah, I've got a question about Jonathan Codger. If I think he's been linked away with Aston Villa, do you think that he's going to stay at the club, and do you think that he is sort of a player that you need to keep for the season ahead?
I think it's a big unknown. I mean, we've seen rumours of bids. Everything I've seen official from the likes of Pat Murphy at the BBC and certainly obviously our club said no bids been received. There's been the odd phone call, as you probably get with most players around the summer. But he was a big player for us last year. He scored 20 goals. We signed him from League Two in France. They really plucked him out of nowhere. And he's very raw, and he remains very raw. He scored 20 goals. Be totally honest, he easily could have scored 40, the amount of chances he missed when he was through one-on-one and some really straightforward opportunity. Can he do that again in a second season? I think it's a really big question. And we certainly hope he can if he stays with us. But I think also most fans would probably be of the opinion if we get a bid anywhere approaching 10 for him to be the going rate for a 20-goal a season striker. But I think most would probably choose to take the money and run and reinvest it in two or three players in the squad.
Yeah, we'll just move on to you now, Ben. Just talk us through the changes that Norwich made since being relegated from the Premier League, and just how confident you are about the season ahead.
Really, there's not been too many wholesale changes. We've gone down with, and looked like we're going to start with, pretty much the squad that we went down with, bar Nathan Redmond, his transfer to Southampton, which, as a Norwich player, we always thought we were going to see a little bit more of him, to be honest. Sort of in the Championship was bags of potential running at players, and I think it's a bit split whether Norwich to see him go. I'm happy to see £11 or £12 million come in for him. The only big changes this summer is we lost our CEO, David McNally, who we had since we were relegated to League One a few years ago, and he's taken us from about £20 million in debt to in the red and a few seasons in the Premiership, becoming a bit of a yo-yo club. But player-wise, we've brought in Michael McGovern, the Irish keeper from Hamilton, who Alex Neil knows pretty well, having been the manager up there with him. I think he'll be in contention for a starting spot with John Ruddy. The other player we brought in was Sergi Canos from Liverpool, youngster. Was at Brentford last season. Done fairly well at Brentford, I think. And I think there's a few clubs sniffing around him. I think Bristol City were keen on him and had a bid in. Accepted, the same as Norwich. He's come in, looked quite tidy pre-season. Apart from that, there's not much happening. There's been a few departures, but departures what I'd call sort of star names heading out of the club that too many Norwich fans are going to worry about. Definitely a light on the striker situation at the minute. Supposedly Ross McCormack coming this way, but we've seen it a million times with players speculated and bids supposedly accepted, and we have to wait and see on that one. But Norwich definitely need probably two centre forwards, and then I'd say we're close to ready to go for the season as long as there's no more major departures.
Yeah, my view on Norwich last year was that Alex Neil rotated a lot and he sort of didn't know what his best team was. Do you reckon that he's better suited to managing in the Championship as opposed to the Premier League, where I thought he was maybe caught out a bit of times?
I think that he definitely struggled last season to decide what his best team was. I think the problem was that we didn't go on enough of any time in the season really have an extended run of good results where he could hold down a team. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens in the Championship. Like I say, he's had a good record there for us in the little time that he did spend there. But last year he did rotate quite a lot, and I know a lot of fans were getting quite disgruntled with his rotation of the team and some of the selections that he was making. Our East centre-backs and strikers mainly. And playing players out of position was a big thing that a lot of Norwich fans were a little bit disgruntled about. But I don't think there's many fans that want to see him go after relegation. They saw enough of a fight about Norwich last year to say, all right, we'll give him another go. We think he's young. He's an upcoming manager and he's got the risk there at Norwich. They've got money to spend. I mean, they're talking about McCormack for £12 million, so he's got a little bit of money there to spend. And they're obviously not selling players like Tim Closer, top quality back, and they're trying their best to keep hold of him. Brady's not gone anywhere yet, although he hasn't been featured in pre-season, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him go. So, yeah, all in all, I think Norwich fans are pretty happy with Neil, but we'll have to wait and see if his rotation continues this season.
This is now Fulham's third season in the Championship, and we talked a bit last week about the strength of the league as a whole. Where do you think Fulham are in that? Because obviously you've had parachute payments, but now with more clubs coming down from the Premier League with a lot more money due to the TV deal, do you think that maybe Fulham have sort of dropped off the promotion paper and are now sort of a mid-table club in the division, or do you think that this year you can challenge for the top spots again?
I think they have a chance to challenge for the top six. From what I watched the Championship, there's not really a whole lot of difference between the mid-table and the top, and it seems to be very, very fluid. I didn't grow up watching the Championship, obviously, because it's very, very hard to watch in the United States. But, I mean, that's the way it seems. It seems like every year some team who was at the bottom jumps up and challenges from a playoff spot. So I don't think it's impossible. Fulham do have a slight advantage just being in London. They can charge higher ticket prices. They can often get more people out to the stadium, and players obviously like living in London, so it's easier to recruit. So that's a little bit of a help. I would not be shocked to see them finish, you know, fighting for the top six. Knowing Fulham, they'll probably end up in seventh on the last day of the season, because that's just what they like to do to me. But I would be shocked if they're in a relegation fight again this year.
Yeah, in terms of Newcastle, I spoke a lot about the summer last week, but this week there's been a few more things going on. We've finished our pre-season, we finished unbeaten, and we scored quite a few goals, which is quite promising. At the weekend, we played Vitesse Arnhem, who who play in the Dutch league, and we played really well in the first half, went up 3-0, and then we got clawed back to 3-2 in the second half, which was disappointing. Both goals coming from set pieces, and I think that's an area that we could be susceptible from this season, especially with some of the teams in the Championship maybe better at set pieces than they are in the Premier League. It's not really a strategy that is used that well in the Premier League outside Tony Pulis and Sam Allardyce's side, so I think that is definitely an issue we're going to have this season. In terms of there's still a lot of transfer activity going on at the club. Moussa Sissoko is expected to leave. He's likely to go to Real Madrid by all accounts, which is incredible because he is not a very good player from what I've seen. He's been at the club for, I think, 3.5 years, and he is really not a very good player. So I can't believe he's going to Real Madrid. And by all accounts, it looks like we're going to get somewhere around the 30 million mark, which again is just incredible. He was an attacking midfielder for us last season. He got one goal, so that shows all you need to know about Moussa Sissoko. So that is going to be a very good deal for us, and it gives us a bit of money to spend bringing in players who want to be at the club, which I think is important. And from our recruitment so far, we've bringing in proven Championship players and players that are going to do well this year, and they're capable of pushing on in the Premier League if we do go up. I know we're massive favourites for the league, which is a concern to me because I don't think we're that much better than a lot of the clubs in the division. I think it's a very tight division this year, and it's going to be there's going to be a lot of teams fighting for those top six places, and it's going to be very, very interesting to watch. So I just hope that we can get one of those spots. I wouldn't even be surprised if we had to go through a playoff place, to be honest, because I'm very scared about the threats in the league, because of course there's Norwich and Aston Villa as well, and Derby look good, Brighton look good, and they're not looking like they're selling any players, so it's going to be a very tough division. And even Bristol City and Fulham, you've talked about them already, I think there's a lot of players in those squads that look good, and they've both got two young managers in charge, and they both could do something this season, so I'm a little bit worried about that. In terms of incomings, we've been linked to Anthony Knockhart. I think we had a 8 million bid turned down from Brighton, which I think he'd be a very good player. I saw him quite a lot last season. I think he's very good in the Championship, and he would be a really good right winger for us with Matt Ritchie on the left. So I think if we manage to get that deal done, I'd be very happy. But Brighton won't want to sell to Newcastle because we're going to be challenging with them in the top six. So I think it's going to be a tough deal to do, and we might have to spend a lot of that 30 million we're getting on him. We might have to go as high as 12 or maybe 15 million. And I don't know if the club will do that for somebody like Knockhart, who's never really done it outside the Championship. So that'll be interesting. But I think we're going to bring in 3 or 5 more. And we're quite well prepared for that first game against Fulham on Friday. We still haven't announced our captain, which is a little bit worrying, but by all accounts, it looks like it's going to be Jamal Lascelles, who did very well last season under Benitez after he took over. And I think he's very vocal, he organises well, he's young, and he's sort of a player we can look to build on for the future. So I think that would be a really interesting appointment. I'm not totally convinced by it, but I think he's going to do a very good job. We do have a problem at the right wing area, which is why we're going for Knockhart, because we have been playing Vernon Anita there in pre-season, who is, by all accounts, a centre defensive midfielder. So if we go forward with him at the right wing spot, that's going to be a worry and maybe something that Fulham can look to take advantage of on Friday, because he's not a winger by any measure. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens with that. Just moving on to the topics for today, I'm just going to ask each of you how well prepared your club are for the season. Are there any concerns that you want to be addressed either in the transfer window or on the training ground? We'll start with you, Paul. How confident are you about the season, and are there any areas that you want Bristol City to improve on?
Yeah, I think, as I said earlier, I think fairly confident. As Andrew said earlier, I think you always see some of the teams who struggled maybe a bit last season come through, and you make half a dozen signings in the summer, and if they gel quickly and you get a few wins early on, I think the confidence can flow. And certainly I know we were bottom of the league in January, and the form we had since the middle of January actually put us in a top six position. So I don't think anyone's getting carried away quite to that level and thinking we're going to be up there in the playoffs. You've just mentioned 5 or 6 teams who are, I think, far better equipped than we are to be in that position. But you never know. And I think you can keep it tight. I think that's really key, Mr. Division. I think people get carried away with the likes of Ross McCormack and, you know, the goals you might get up front and whatever. And it's obviously important. But again, as Andrew indicated, if you concede goals, you're going to be down the bottom. And that's the same in any league. And I do think sometimes people in this division have sort of gone for the big strikes to try and get the goals to get you up. And you've got to keep it tight. Burnley kept it so tight last year. Middlesbrough kept it tight. And the teams that go up generally do that. I think in that sense, that's probably one of the key areas we maybe look a little bit weak still. We've got a fairly solid first choice back four. Still one or two doubts maybe around the pace, but adding Adam Matthews at right back and Scott Goldbourne we added in January at left back, is two solid performers there. Both of a good age still, both got a lot of experience at this level. So we've signed this chap who haven't seen play yet from Juventus and Icelandic international. He looks like he's going to be on in the first team. So hopefully he can settle in quickly. But again, you never really know how these guys are going to come in and play immediately. I think our main concern really is going forward. I think goals are pretty sparse. We talked about Kodjo earlier, scored 20 goals last year. Apart from that, I can't remember from memory, anyone got anywhere near double figures. I think Tomlin and Aidan Flint got 7 or 8 each. Really struggling to see who else is going to get those goals, and it'd be interesting to see how Lee Johnson sets us up this year to try and make us a bit more flowing without conceding the goals that we did last year whenever we tried to go a bit more flowing, and it never really worked properly for us last year. So really interesting to see how that sets up. There were some positive signs last spring, some good big wins at times, and if we can carry that sort of form forward, then I'd say you never know. But I think like a lot of teams that aren't in that, the big 6 or 8, as I sort of can see in the league, sounds a real cliche, but we've got to get to 50 points first, get there as early as possible, see what you can do and how you can press on.
One of the concerns I think I have as a relegated team is that there's so many unknowns in this division. I don't really know a lot about the clubs like Bristol City. I don't think we've really played them in competition that much before, and especially Burton as well. I don't know what they're going to bring, and I don't think they're going to be as easy pushovers as people expect them to be. So it's sort of the unknowns I'm concerned about. And again, we're coming in with a losing mentality. We lost a lot of games last year, as did Norwich. Is that something that worries you, Ben, sort of the losing mentality that you might bring over, and if you lose two or three of your first five games, and that could sort of take hold?
Yeah, it really could, and we've seen that in the past. I mean, we got relegated from the Premiership and then got relegated consecutively down to League One, and that's what set about wholesale changes in our board and the way the club was run. At the minute, the obvious is quite optimistic, but I was optimistic this season. We got relegated once again down to League One, so I hope my optimism's not misplaced. But there's a good core of young players coming through the squad. There's a good creativity from midfield. Like I say, we've really only got one striker who's scoring goals for us, and that's Cameron Jerome, and that's an issue that they hopefully will address this week. But and not all Norwich fans getting worried, because it's not been addressed until now, and it's obviously only now 6 days till the start of the season for us. The other concern would be perhaps defensive midfield. We let Gary O'Neill go to Bristol City, and we've got Alex Tetti as our first choice, we'd say, defensive midfielder. And we've also got Yusuf Malumbo sitting there, but he was not really favoured by Alex Neil last season. And there's some reports coming out this week that he might be off to Marseille. So if he goes, it will really leave us a little bit short in the defensive midfield, and with an abundance of attacking midfields. I mean, we brought James Maddison in January from Coventry and sent him back to Coventry on loan. He's come in a deal which supposedly could be worth up to £8 or 9 million with all the add-ons over the 3 years that he's here. So they're obviously expecting a lot from James Maddison, probably to step in and take Wes Houlihan's position eventually, I would suggest. And also the Murphy twins for Norwich have come back from Coventry and Milton Keynes Dons with a lot of energy and looking like first team players now. I mean, they've come back and scored, I think, 3 or 4 goals. Josh Murphy or Jacob Murphy and Josh Murphy's chipped in with a couple in pre-season, and they're looking like real contenders. I mean, with Canos only 19, there's a lot of youth within the squad now. I think with a big solid centre-back in Tim Closer, who will either probably be paired with Sebastian Bessong, who's not a lot of fans' favourite defender, was a bit of a liability for us last season, to be honest. But dropping back down to the Championship, he wasn't so bad for us there the season before, so it'll be either him or Ryan Bennett at the back. So I know there's quite a few Norwich fans that are quite like a new centre back as well to pair with Tim Closer, who's been a real hit, even though he only played about 8 games last season before he got injured. He showed enough in them 8 games, and he's come out and said all the right things about staying with Norwich City. I actually done an interview with him this week for my blog, and he's come out and saying all the right things that a Norwich fans want to hear, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him become Norwich captain this season, play with Champions League experience, won the German Cup the season before he came to us, captained Wolfsburg for a bit, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him be the Norwich captain. Like I say, only concerns really is bringing in another forward. We're a little bit light. We've got Carlton Morris, he's a player that's come through the ranks, and we've got Carl Lafferty, but he, unfortunately for Norwich, can't seem to recreate any of that form he gets when he pulls on an Ireland shirt, and he seems to struggle in the league. He went out to Birmingham, I believe it was Birmingham last year, and he didn't really get a game for them either. So there's something perhaps in training or somewhere along the line that he just can't recreate the Ireland form in a club shirt. But so all in all, if we can pick up one striker, one quality striker, but I think we really need two strikers, and then we'll be set for the season.
I think most clubs at this sort of time of the year will be thinking that players coming in is something that they want to see, and they probably see weaknesses in their squad. So I think that's a valid point, especially where Norwich only have Cameron Jerome. I think striking areas are probably where they need to strengthen. I think Ross McCormack would go a long way to do that. But I'll just come to you now, Andrew. I've been following Fulham this preseason quite a lot, obviously, where we're playing each other on the first day. And at the weekend, you had a good win over Crystal Palace, which I think is going to just send the morale through the roof. So I think Fulham are in quite a good place from what I can see. And it's only really the McCormack situation that could be sort of muddying the waters.
They're in a good position. The interesting thing is they've had a good preseason, and McCormack really hasn't played at all. The last time he played, he was substituted out about halftime, and that was July 9th. So he hasn't played any preseason games since then. So the team has, it seems, been making an effort to learn to play without him. And I think they're probably waiting on the last three or four transfers until his move out is finalized, and they'll actually have the money in hand and know how much they have to spend. Going into the first game, the one really worrying thing about Fulham right now is that they're starting right back. Ryan Fredericks picked up an injury, and he's going to be out probably about 10 weeks. And normally that's not a huge problem, but I would say that their backup right back is also their starting left back. So they can either move Tom Callis over to right back, which he's played a lot of, but he's their starting center back. So you're either going to have moving one of your starting center backs, and you're going to bring in a backup, one of your backup center backs to play, who none of the backup center backs at Fulham played very well at all last year. The other thing you could do is leave Dennis Adoy, who's your starting left back, out at, move him over to right back, but then you're bringing in Scott Maloney to play left back. I don't know much about him, but the Cardiff fans were seemed to be really happy that he left and joined Fulham, although it was basically a trade for a player we wanted to get rid of on our own, so it's kind of a wash. But I'm not really excited about him lining up at left back, so that's going to be kind of the big problem, is that just one player is going to cause all sorts of shifting, and I don't know how Fulham are going to deal with that. The other issue that we still have is, it's from a long time ago, we still haven't really had an effective midfield partnership since Danny Murphy and the original Moussa Dembélé, and you guys should all realize how long ago that was. Fulham have just been searching and searching for a midfield partnership since then, and they still really don't have a real defensive midfielder on the roster. They have Kevin McDonald, they have Ryan Tunnicliffe, Scott Parker, Lasse Vigen Christensen. They're all more box-to-box guys. The one central defensive midfielder they have is a guy named Sakiri Matila, who was injured most of last year and actually he's Finnish and joined out of the Norwegian league. So no one really knows anything about him, and no one's seen him play enough to know if he's actually any good. So that's a big hole, and I'm one that I hope gets addressed sooner rather than later, but I don't think it's going to be addressed in time for the game on Friday.
Yeah, in terms of Newcastle, I think I'm fairly positive going into the season. There's not many concerns. There's a few minor concerns. My main concerns are mainly about team selection. I think we're not really sure how we're going to play it. I think Benitez likes to play a 4-2-3-1, and it'll be interesting to see how he goes about doing that, especially as Mitrovic is suspended for the first four games of the season after he picked up a stupid red card on the final day. So we're going to probably have to go in with Dwight Gayle, and it's not really the type of forward that Benitez likes to play with. He likes to play with a target man, and I think that could be perhaps an issue at Fulham, because we like to sort of play to the target man, get him to hold on to the ball and get on running midfielders. I don't think Gale could do that, so we might find it difficult to sort of keep hold of the possession of the final third, which again, I'd be a little bit concerned about. Other things that I'm concerned about, there's not really that much. Again, I mentioned earlier about the unknowns in the league. I think I don't know a lot about some of these clubs, and I think where we're coming down as such big favourites, it really is going to play against us sometimes, because I think teams that sort of look at Newcastle, they'll want to come to St James's Park and sort of take that sort of scalp and get it on the books, and that could sort of mean that we do come up against teams playing maybe 110% of their ability, and that could be a problem. I just want to briefly touch on managers today, because I don't know a great deal about some of the managers in the league. I know a lot about Alex Neil, obviously, where I was in the Premier League. I'll just start with you, Paul. I know Lee Johnson is sort of a very highly rated manager. Can you just tell us a bit about him, and maybe do you think he's the right man for the Bristol City job?
Personally, yes. I think when he was a player with us, he was very much a Marmite player. I think he was one of these sitting midfielders who doesn't crunch tackles, didn't score goals. He was short, so he didn't win headers. But for those who see how a team is trying to play football, you saw the job he did in sort of taking a ball off back four and moving around the pitch and keeping the ball moving. So I think when he came in, he was a little bit split in the fan base. I think what's clear with him, and there was an article in The Guardian, actually, I think it was EBS still this morning. He's a very modern manager. So he's only 35. He's only been managing 3 or 4 years. But he's been all around Europe. He's used his dad's contacts a little bit. He's been to Barcelona, Real Madrid, spent time in Latvia. This article was talking about how he's been to the SAS and the NHS to go into an A&E ward to see how they handle pressure and how they take the emotion out of it, and how they make sure they're doing what they need to do. And I think it's that sort of approach where that's certainly what's impressed the clubs he's gone to. Certainly Oldham and Barnsley, I know, Oldham in particular, I know, were blown away by his interview when he went there. And I think Steve Lansdowne, the owner, knows the Johnson family very well still, didn't really want to sack his dad, Gary, and, kind of got to a point where he had to. But I think he was always wanting to bring Lee Johnson back to the club and hoping that he can just take us out one step further than Gary managed. But as I said earlier, I mean, the setup now is in place in theory. We've knocked down three stands and rebuilt them. We've got a big double sort of cantilever stand. We've got hospitality boxes now, as we never had before. Bigger capacity. And we're doing a lot of other things behind the scenes as well. A new director of football from Oxford, a guy called Mark Ashton, who's has a slightly controversial background in places, but seems to have been doing a job certainly with transfer window this summer. And I think mainly, it could be famous last words, but it certainly feels like we're ready to take that next step up, and it's at the very least establish ourselves in the Championship. I mean, we've come up three times now in the last 20 years and never survived more than a couple of years. So I think that's said earlier, it's got to be our first job. Get established, make sure we're not struggling, make sure we're not constantly sacking managers and fighting against the drop every season, which we kind of got in the position of last time, and just make sure we're there or thereabouts. And say, you never know, then one or two signings here and there, one or two good bits of form, and things might turn your way. But I think he's certainly one of those manager people are looking at. I think he talks about himself and Gary Rowett and people like that in the same sentence. I think he's one of those names people will be looking at and keeping an eye on as an Englishman, just because he is an Englishman and there's not a huge amount of them about still. But very young, a lot of potential, and doing lots of exciting stuff off the pitch, which, a lot of fans don't necessarily see and notice, but hopefully that can transform itself into form on the pitch.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites.
So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, I read some comments that he made about playing us in the first month of the season. He said that he didn't think Rafa Benitez would know who he was, and I think he's doing himself a bit of a disservice. So I think he's got he's increased his reputation in the game, and I think he's definitely one of the managers to watch, like you say, alongside Gary Rowett, who's done very well at Burton and Birmingham. So I'll be keeping a keen eye on Bristol City this season, and hopefully see them do very well under him. And Ben, just moving on to Alex Neil now. You talked a bit about him earlier, so we don't really need to go over that again, but I just want to know your thoughts on, do you think that there's a possibility of him maybe having... I'll completely go over that again. That was awful. Yeah, just moving on to you now, Ben. In terms of Alex, do you think that there's a possibility of him being sacked if he has a bad start? Because obviously the relegation does loom over a manager once you've been relegated, and it is important to get that quick start. So do you think there's going to be any pressure on him early on, or do you think that all the board and the fan base are behind him?
Well, I think the fan base have got back behind him over the summer. I think he started so positive. That was the thing with Norwich fans. And since we lost to Newcastle and got a thump in there by yourselves, his attitude towards the game seemed to change a little bit. And we went from a free flow and attacking football to quite negative at times, where it was a bit depressing for a Norwich fan to go from that attacking football to the negativity after sort of one defeat. It almost seemed that obvious. But in the Championship, he's proved his worth. And I don't think he's under any pressure initially. But then we have a new CEO in Jez Moxley. So you never know. Norwich are a bit up in the air with regards to that, because a new CEO could come in wanting instant results. And if we go the first 10 games and we're at the wrong end of the table, you never know what a new CEO could want.
Yeah, so Andrew, we'll just move on to you now. What are your thoughts on your manager at the moment? Do you think that, because I watched a lot of you towards the end of the season, it's sort of very good attacking football, but there's sort of a lot of goals going in at the other end. Do you think it's going to be more of the same, or do you think it's going to be a slightly different brand of football this season?
I think it's going to be a little bit different. He doesn't have a high bar to clear, as Martin Yole had kind of given up by the end. Felix McGath was a crazy person, and Kit Simons was just in over his head. So as long as he's better than all of those guys, it's going to be a breath of fresh air. But his big problem was that the team that we had last year just made no sense. The only way to that you could make it make sense was playing five at the back, which they weren't really that well equipped for, because they didn't have enough center backs. So he was just kind of throwing darts, trying to make that lineup work. And he made it work well enough so we didn't get relegated. But this preseason, he's kind of run a 4-2-3-1 pretty much all the time, which is one of the reasons I think McCormick might be on his way out, because he just doesn't really fit in that formation as well. And it seems like he's kind of made the defense work. So far, we haven't really given up any goals in the preseason game, other than, you know, some fluky ones. We've had more clean sheets in the preseason than I think we did all of last season in the league, which is saying a lot about last season. So people are really excited about him, and I'm still kind of shocked that Fulham were able to get him. I mean, he got Watford promoted. He went to Maccabi Tel Aviv, and he got them into the group stage of the Champions League for the first time in a decade, I think. And then he made it to Fulham. So he seems like he's a pretty good coach, and most of the Fulham fans are really excited to have him. And one of the most exciting things about him is he's very, very free with his words. When he's mad, he says that he's mad. A lot of the old managers would say we'd have a performance that was bad, and they'd say, oh, well, we got unlucky, and if this had happened and this had happened, the result could have been different. When the team plays bad with Djokanovic, he comes out and says they played bad, and there's going to be consequences for some of these guys. He's really likes to kind of stick it to management in press conferences, saying that if they don't get me three or four new players, we're not going to be good enough this year. And that's something that previous managers never would have done. And the fans actually really, really enjoy that.
I'll just talk a bit about Benitez now. Obviously, I'm going to be very happy to have him. He's a world-class manager. I was surprised he stayed last season. He sort of did have a massive effect on us. We played very well in those last 10 games, and we were unbeaten in our last six. And on the final day, we really did destroy Spurs. It was one of the best performances I've seen, and maybe that was because the pressure had gone where we'd already been relegated. But it was sort of a sign of things that could that were to come under Benitez. He's done a lot of work over the club in the summer. He's started up youth tournaments. He's got the community more involved. The club feel a lot more approachable on social media and the things that they do in the community, and that's really nice to see. And I think that a lot of that is down to Benitez. He sort of got the fan base to believe in the club again, which I think is important. And although there's some criticism of him, maybe in the media they're saying that he hasn't had experience in the Championship and maybe he's going to struggle, I don't buy into that too much. I think if you're as good a manager as he is, you can sort of adapt to any situation you're in. He had experience in the Spanish second tier, which, although it's not as competitive as the Championship, it will give him some experience in that. And I think he's looking at the bigger picture, and that's really exciting. I think over the next 3 or 4 years, we could become a very good Premier League club again. It's just very important that this season we do go up, but I have faith in him to do that. I think if he doesn't get us back up, I don't know who will. We've had Steve McLaren, we've had Alan Pardew. They were both awful managers. I'm not a fan of either. And when we got Benitez, the fans are back on the side of the club, which in the recent past it hasn't been the case. And I think Mike Ashley has made a very good decision, because it's sort of taken a lot of the attention off him, because everyone's sort of ignoring what he's done, because he's now got a world-class manager in. So that's really, really positive for us. I'd just like to ask you all about a young player at your club that you think could break through this season, because we've seen in the past that the Championship can, you know, provide a lot of young players that go on to play in the Premier League. So just start with you, Paul. Are there any exciting young players at Bristol City?
I think we've got quite a good crop at under-19, under-18 level. Four or five made their way onto bench at the end of last season, partly because we had a small squad. And I hope they get given a chance again this year. I think there's every indication that part of Lee Johnson's mantra is to use the academy. We've invested a lot of money in our academy for a League One stroke Championship club in the last 10 years and not had a fantastic return at all from it. I mean, a couple of players briefly. I mean, one is Bobby Reid, who's been at a club for probably about 10 years now. He's now 23, and really it's a big season for him, I think, in terms of can he actually break through into that first team spot. He's a very talented footballer, bit on the small side, bit on the light side, tends to go missing in games that are a bit tough and when he's not quite in form. And for the first time, really, the second half of last season, started to show he might be able to force his way into a starting spot, or, you know, very least a regular squad spot and not need to go out on loan again. So got certainly hopes for him. I think the exciting one for us really is Callum O'Dowda, who we signed from Oxford for, I think it's around about £1 million up front, up to 1.6 in total, depending on add-ons, etc. I know the guys at Oxford are very excited by him and very disappointed to see him go. But I know someone at the club and they were talking about him in better terms than Kamar Roof, who obviously stole a lot of the headlines last year and scored a lot of the goals, but they reckon he's a better footballer than him all round. So really hopeful for him, and, you know, if he can come in and make an instant impact, it could be to negate some of the things I talked about earlier, some about excitement and the pace up front and trying to get some of the goals. I think just to come back to Jake on Rafa Benitez, I think that view on can he manage at a Championship level, for me, that's a bit of a red herring if you're managing Newcastle and have got a budget and you can sign a quality of player that he can still sign, because it won't be a million miles away from the sort of quality player he's had before. I think if you suddenly stick Rafa in, with great respect to them, to Rotherham or Burton, and have to manage on a small budget and with players who maybe aren't up to that standard, I think that's possibly a different question and a different challenge, and it might not quite work out in the way they'd hope. I must admit, looking from the outside in, I don't think he'll have any problems there, and I think he'd be able to sign quality players who'll do a job for you and get you back up at the first attempt.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't think he would have taken over Burton this summer, so I think it was a big reason for him staying is because obviously we're going to go into the season's favourites, and he just believes we're going to get back into Premier League, where he ultimately wants to manage. Ben, in terms of young players, what is happening at Norwich at the moment? Because I know you signed James Maddison, you've got the Murphy brothers there. They're all exciting talents. Is there anybody else that are coming through the youth ranks at Norwich?
There was a few players given a bit of pre-season time with the first team. Played a bit of football. There's quite an exciting forward called Todd Cantwell come through the ranks, who apparently Arsenal were interested in January, but Norwich got him tied down on another 3-year contract, I believe. But I can't see him breaking in. because of the importance of the season, I think, because of his age. I just can't see him breaking into the first team. I mean, they've signed young players in the likes of Canos and Madison in similar sort of roles to where he plays. So it suggests that he's probably not quite ready to get into the first team yet, and he's a little bit on the young side. I think probably Josh Murphy, the one player Norwich fans are looking to this year to break into the first team. Had a good pre-season, went out to Milton Keynes Dons last year, played a full season for them, for 40-odd games for them, scored 5 goals from the wing, and he was voted the Milton Keynes Players' Player of the Year, which was quite an accolade because he only turned 21 in February, I believe. And pre-season, he's looked on fire, so I think him and Canos will be fighting for the right-wing spot this season. And he's been a pretty tidy player too, done well on Coventry last year and had a good pre-season too with us. So I think the Murphy twins are probably the two that Norwich fans are excited about, because we've watched them come through the ranks for quite a few years now, and it's finally looking like the year that they might be breaking into the first team. So yeah, I'd say them two are definitely the ones to watch from us.
Andrew, for Fulham, I think the last few seasons they've had a lot of young players coming through. You start with Patrick Roberts, Emerson Hyndman, Moussa Dembele. Do you think, is there anybody else coming through at Fulham? Is that sort of progression of young players still coming through? Have all the, you know, the best young players gone and it's sort of...
No, there's still a lot of good talent in their academy and in their, you know, under 23s and under 18s. Something not a lot of people know is that we basically hired the entire Southampton Academy staff about 4 or 5 years ago. So that is kind of when the academy kind of started to turn around and we started to get all these good young players in. I don't know if he still counts as young because he's 21, but Colley Woodrow, I think, is poised to have a pretty big year. He was supposed to be split time with Moussa Dembele last year, but he ended up being hurt most of the season and only played a little over 400 minutes. But he was able to score a goal, about one goal every 100 minutes, so I think he could have a big year. Going back a little bit younger, there's a player a lot of Americans are excited about because he continues the Americans at Fulham trend. But it's a kid, Luca De La Torre, who just turned 18 in May. He's kind of an attacking midfielder, withdrawn forward kind of player. I don't know how much he'll play this year, but he's looked really good for the youth teams. He's looked really good for the U.S. international youth teams. But the big player that everyone's really, really excited about is his name is Ryan Sessegnon. I probably butchered that pronunciation, but he's a left back kind of left midfield kind of guy. He gets a lot of comparisons to Gareth Bale. He's already played a lot at left back for the first team in the preseason, and he just turned 16 in May, so he's very, very young. I don't know how much he'll play this year, if at all, but he's already been linked to transfers to Liverpool and Arsenal in the last window. So I'd kind of like to see him get a little bit of playing time, and maybe we can hold on to him for a little bit longer than we did with a lot of our other recent youth players.
Yeah, I had seen his name mentioned quite a lot. I didn't realize he was 16. That is incredibly young. So if he does get some first team action this season, that'll be very interesting to watch. For Newcastle, we've got a few young players. The last time we came down to the Championship, it allowed a lot of young players to come through. Andy Carroll was a massive example. He went on to get a £35 million transfer off of it. So we're hoping that there's a few players that could have a similar impact this season. The main one, I think, is Adam Armstrong. He played for Coventry last season on loan. He got 20 goals in League One. He looked very good at that level, was one of the better players in the league. So the next logical step is to try and get some first team action in the Championship. I think I read somewhere that 18 teams in the league wanted to sign him on loan, who have inquired about him at some stage over the summer, which is just incredible. And it sort of shows how talented he is and how many clubs know about him. And it'll be interesting to see what happens for him, because he's not a good starter, but at the same time, I don't think the club want to loan him out to another Championship club. So I think he'll stay around and maybe get some alternate with Ayoze Perez, and it'll be interesting to see how he does when he does get first team action, because I think he's a player that could go on to play for England in the next 3 or 4 years if he continues to develop as he is. Outside of Armstrong, we've got Rolando Arons, who has been around for quite a long time. I think he's now 21 and he needs to start getting first team minutes. He's been injured quite a lot in the past, and he looks good every time he does play, but it's just injuries have hampered his progress. I think a drop down to the Championship will hopefully do him a lot of favours in terms of his development. And we have a young fullback, Jamie Sterry, who has played quite a lot in pre-season, and I think he's going to be a good backup for us as well. And I think young players are important in the Championship because there's 46 games and you have to alternate. You've scored quite a lot. We'll just move on. Just finally, before we finish today, I just want to preview each of the matches going on this weekend, because obviously the Championship does kick off a week before the Premier League, so it is the return of football. We'll start with you, Paul. What are your thoughts on Bristol City versus Wigan Athletic?
Yeah, well, I think intriguing first game. You know, a team we didn't play last year, obviously, come up. Gary Cole's done a fantastic job there. Looked to make some solid signings over the summer. I think Nick Powell's the standout one, really. I think he was pretty much set for a transfer to Wolves, and Wigan seemed to just nip in there at the last moment and take him up there. I think Jake Buxton, for me, you talked about solid Championship performers earlier. For someone who's been around for a couple of years at that level, and from Derby, I think is a good signing for them. And Alex Gilby as well. We looked at him in January from Colchester, a very tidy midfielder. And we actually had a bid rejected for him in January, so hopefully that doesn't come back to haunt us when he turns up on the opening day. I mean, obviously, what we've got to look forward to on the opening day is Will Grigg coming to Ashton Gate. So maybe he might get a few more minutes at our ground than he did in France in the summer on the pitch. I think it's a really interesting August for us because we've got promoted Wigan at home on the first day. We're then travelling to Burton's first home game the week after. And we follow up that with Newcastle and Villa at home in all right through August. So four teams we didn't play last year. And I think, the confidence and the little burst that you often get as a promoted team, we might find with Wigan and Burton and the two big guns, I guess, in Newcastle and Villa. Yeah, very interesting to see where we end August and whether we have a clearer view on where we're actually going to end up the season of having played those four teams.
Yeah, what do you think the result will be at the weekend? Do you want to hazard a prediction?
Oh, we're pretty good at draws on the opening day, so I'm going to go for one.
Yeah, we'll move on to you now, Ben. You're travelling to Blackburn Rovers, who've made a lot of moves over the summer in terms of playing staff, and they've got a new manager in Owen Coyle. What are your thoughts on that game, and what do you think is going to happen?
Owen's never your first game. I can't remember a first game win for several years, so I'd be very surprised if we can get more than a draw from the first game. But a lot of things have changed at Blackburn over the summer. Former Norwich man Paul Lambert's departed, and there's been plenty of staff changes there in the personnel. Players like Danny Graham going in into the strike force. I'd probably take a draw on the first day, to be honest, away from home. Although hopefully we'll have quite a settled squad, because yes, it's not going to be too changed from last season. It's a new challenge, isn't it? People are going to come against Norwich, the likes of Norwich and Newcastle, Villa, teams that come down, and they're going to be giving it 110%. And if we can come away from Blackburn with a draw, hopefully a low-scoring draw, so we don't all get nervous about the back four again, I'll be quite happy.
Yeah, and finally, I just want to preview Fulham versus Newcastle, where we have representatives from both teams here. So I'll let you go first, Andrew. What are your thoughts ahead of this one? What are your expectations for the game?
Well, I like having one of the hardest fixtures you're going to have all year, presumably come right away. That way, if you lose, it doesn't quite get you as down as losing a game that you think you should win right at the beginning. But I think this is going to be very interesting, because Fulham might be only starting one or two players that were really played at all last year. So that's, combine that with no one really knows how Slavisa is going to play, because he didn't play his own system at all last year. That kind of makes Fulham a pretty hard team to prepare for. Whereas I think Newcastle, they're bringing back quite a lot of the same players they had last year. Rafa Benitez was there at the end of last year. I think they kind of know what they're going to expect. Saying all that, if can get through this game and just not fall apart defensively, go out, have a good defensive, get a clean sheet, or even only give up, a goal, I think that will do a lot to get fans excited for the year. If Fulham were to go out and just give up three or four goals, everyone's just going to fall back into that depressing feeling that they've had the last few years and just think that this is going to be a really long season.
Yeah, I'm always negative about going away to Fulham because it's one of the games that I do often go to. I'll be at the game on Friday, and we do often lose the game. I think last time in the Premier League, I think we lost 1-0 in the season. You got relegated. I think the year before that, I think you beat us 4-1 or 5-1. It was quite a big beating, and I think, you know, those results are quite raw to me at the moment. I think when I think about the game, I think it could be a similar sort of game, and I just don't look forward to going to Fulham away. So I'm a little bit worried about it. But saying that, I think if we are going to try and win the league title, I think we need to start with a win. I think we've got a fit squad. We've had a good preseason, and I think, you know, we do have maybe a step up of quality that what Fulham have, where we've only just come down and we've added a lot of quality this summer. It's sort of Matt Ritchie and Dwight Gayle who our Premier League players, and I think that it will be interesting to see where both teams are. I wouldn't be surprised to see it end in a draw. Maybe like a 1-1 draw, just because it's the first game, and draws are very common in the first game. What do you think the result will be? Do you think a draw is a fair reflection?
That would probably be what I would guess. It'd be a 1-1 draw would probably be about where I'd put this. I think Slavisa is going to concentrate on making sure the defense doesn't concede more than anything. There's a very good chance he plays the natural center back at one of the left back positions and doesn't attack quite as much as he normally would. So I think he's going to be trying to play for a clean sheet or even a draw, and hopefully he's going to play to kind of hope to win 1-0. And I think a 1-1 result is probably what's going to end up happening.
Yeah, and as you say, it's pretty predictable how Newcastle will line up. We do play with a 4-2-3-1 formation. We like to have two midfielders screening the back four, and we like to sort of keep things tight. So I think it is going to be a tight game. I don't think there's going to be lots of goals. I think if either team wins, it's just going to be the one goal. So it will definitely be an interesting one. I think it's a good game to kick off the season as well. But with that, we are now out of time for this week. Thanks so much for coming on today, guys. If you'd just like to tell people where they can reach you or any projects you're involved in, now would be a good time.
Paul Binning, The Exiled Robin, at The Exiled Robin on Twitter.
Hey, you can find me on Norwich City blog or The Yellow Pages, YELLA. And I've got an interview on there this week, probably airing tomorrow, with Norwich centre-back Tim Closer.
Yeah, and you can find me at cottagersconfidential.com. The Twitter for that account is cottagersc. And if you want to follow my tweets, which are not about so much soccer, it's at arbeck.
Yeah, and for my stuff, you can get my writings on EPL Index, Newcastle 360, and Total Dutch Football. And you can listen to our other shows. We have a Premier League podcast, the EPL Roundtable, which I think is going to be the first edition of that tonight after a promotion special last week. So that, definitely give that a listen. And there's a Fantasy Premier League podcast, so definitely give that a listen. But yeah, thanks so much for listening today, guys. And I hope you join in again soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.